Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, May 16th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Skip Benton. Skip and his wife Kathy have been members of Mountain Brook Baptist for several years. Their daughter, Sarah Beth Wagner, and her husband, Tom, are also members of the church. They have two beautiful granddaughters in the church, Elizabeth and Claire Bennett. We're so excited to learn more about you, Skip, your life, your faith, and your family at the end of the podcast. But first, thank you for reading God's Word to us today.
Mary, thank you for having me. Our first passage is from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37, and I'm reading from the New American Standard. And a lawyer stood up and put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And he said to him, "What is written in the law? How does it read to you?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But wishing to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied and said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, and they stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. And by chance, a priest was going down on that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion, and came to him and bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them, and he put him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day he took out 2 denarii, and gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I return, I will repay you.' Which of these 3 do you think proved to be the neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands?" And he said, "The one who showed mercy toward him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do the same." Our second reading today is from Mark 14, verses 27 through 42. And Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away, because it is written, 'I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered.' But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." But Peter said to him, "Even though all may fall away, yet I will not." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you that this very night, before a rooster crows twice, you yourself will deny me 3 times. But Peter kept saying insistently, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And they all were saying the same thing also. They came to a place named Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here until I have prayed." And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be very distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch." And he went a little beyond them and fell to the ground and began to pray that if it were possible, the hour might pass him by. And he was saying, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." And he came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not come into the temptation, and the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to answer him. And he came to the 3rd time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? It is enough, the hour has come, and behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand." And the last scripture is from Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. "Commit your works to the Lord, and your plans will be established."
Thank you so much, Skip, for joining the podcast and for reading so beautifully for us. Please share with us a little bit about you. Where did you grow up? And tell us about your family.
Well, I'm from Talladega, Alabama. Moved around a lot. My dad's job moved around a lot. And as far as my family, I'm married to Kathy Benton, almost 46 years. I've got three kids. They're all grown now, 39, 37, and 36. And I've got nine grandchildren, ages 2 to 9. So we have a great time, and we love each other and spend a lot of time together.
Growing up, did you play sports, or what were you into?
Well, I did play high school sports here in Birmingham. I went to Inner City High School in 1970 to 74, and played at Woodlawn High School. In fact, there was a movie made at Woodlawn about Woodlawn.
One of Webb's favorite books and movies was Woodlawn, so I feel a certain desire to know more.
Well, it was a great time. I mean, it was a time when the civil rights started and the busing started in 1970, integration into the high schools, and Woodlawn was one of the first. And times were rough there for several years, but in 73, our football team had a revival. And when we had that revival, a lot of the football players became Christians, and those that weren't Christians rededicated their life and dedicated the football season to the Lord. And it changed a lot of people's lives. It actually changed a lot of schools' lives. And if you haven't ever watched the movie, it's a great movie to watch. Tony was a running back there in that movie. He went on to play at Alabama and for the Miami Dolphins. He's a good friend and a great guy. And so good to know how well he and Johnny, his high school sweetheart, are doing.
Another thing about your high school experience is that you met Kathy during this season, correct?
That's right. Well, we dated for 8 years. We met each other in high school and started dating homecoming of our sophomore year. Aww. Neither one of us were supposed to be dating, but our parents agreed to let us go out on a special date. And so we started dating then. And then we dated for 8 years, all the way through high school and all the way through college. We got married in 1979, August the 4th, 1979. So she's the light of my life, and I've always known that she was a special one for me. So that's sort of the story there.
Tell me what attracted you to her.
Her eyes and her quick wit. Anyone who knows Kathy, she has a very quick wit. She's very funny. And she just was so different when I was a freshman in high school and I saw her.
Where did you go to college, and what was your career path like?
Well, I went to Auburn and in 1974, graduated in 1979, got my degree in building construction at Auburn. And then when I just started looking for work, I had several construction offers, but there was one particular offer which was in sales with a company here in Birmingham named American Cast Iron Pipe Company, which a lot of people here refer to it as a SIPCO. Most people know it of that. And it's a 120-year-old company today. And so that's sort of where I went and decided to be a salesperson. So I've been a salesperson for that company for almost 46 years. In fact, I just retired. My last day was April 30th of 25. And the company was started by Atlanta entrepreneur by the name of John J. Egan. And Mr. Egan decided he wanted to start a company in Birmingham. He hooked up with a lady by the name of Blair, who had Blair Foundry here in Birmingham, which he knew. And she told him Birmingham would be a wonderful place to start a foundry for making a water pipe. And so Mr. Egan invested in the company and established our company in 1905. The desire that he had was to have it be built on Christian principles. The golden rule is still the company's motto that he gave us many years ago, do unto others, you'd have them do unto you. And that's the philosophy that the company operates on today and trying to do the right things. In 1924, Mr. Egan passed away, and when they opened up his will, he had left the stock in trust to all the employees of the company. And so the company has been operating for 120 years now in that trust. And so then the employees and retirees of the company are beneficiaries of that trust. So it's an unbelievable benevolence, but it was a Christian thing to do. And Mr. Egan, if you were to ever read his memoirs or anything about the company, you'd find that he started the first bathhouses in the country for industrial employees. He paid black workers the same pay that he paid white workers in those early years, even in the Jim Crow era. So he was a man who had tremendous vision. And many of his compadres or call it peers around the world in terms of industrial told him he couldn't do that because normal people could not run a company. But he proved them wrong. So it's a great company. I've loved it for 46 years and always been great to me.
Another interesting thing that I would like to talk to you about is Cousin Camp. Describe what Cousin Camp is and how it works.
Well, Cousin Camp is it's something that Kathy came up with, and she grew up in a family where a large family, but they didn't have that many cousins. I grew up in a family, a small family. We had lots of cousins. And so we spent a lot of time with our cousins. I did down in Sylacauga, Alabama, where my dad's family is from. But she always wanted to make sure that the grandchildren knew each other, grew to love each other. And so she came up with a concept of Queenie and G's Cousin Camp. And we have it every year. This will be our seventh year coming June. It's the first full week of June. We bring all the grandkids in. We have nine, as I mentioned before. If you're 2 years and older, you can spend the night. If you're under two, you can be a day camper, but mom or dad have to take you home before dinner. So, and we make all the adults go home before dinner as well. But it's been great. This is our seventh year. We'll be playing on the lake. They come, spend the night. They come in on Sunday, leave on a Saturday. And we do the boating, all the tubing, you know, kayaking, all the games. And, of course, we do pictures on the porch each night, and they get to pick a movie they want to watch or a program they want to watch. So it's a great time for us to spend time with them and get to know them and interact with them. But it's also a great time for them to interact with each other. And Kathy does a great job of preparing activities. But there's Bible lesson in the morning, and of course there's books to read, Bible stories, things of that nature. So it's also an opportunity to invest in their spiritual life as well, even at an early age.
Did you also come to know Christ at an early age, or what was your journey with Him like?
Yeah, it's a good question. I became a Christian, I guess it was when I was a third grader. I went to Sunday school. There used to be a bunch of housing projects out by the airport. They're torn down now where Thompson Tractor is, but we lived there. My dad could go to work and walk from there. But there was a little church there in that project area called Eastwood Baptist Church. And I went as a second, third grader, and ultimately went to Sunday school. And there was a Sunday school teacher there by the name of Mr. Love. I always remember Mr. Love. He came every Sunday and taught Sunday school. But he opened the invitation one morning during Sunday school and said, if you'd like to accept Christ into your heart, you know, raise your hand, you know, with everybody's eyes down. Head down, eyes closed, of course, and I did. And, of course, then he explained it to me after that. I always appreciated Mr. Love because he was just such a great Sunday school teacher for young boys, and he worked all night the night before. And so often he would fall asleep during the worship service, but he was there for Sunday school to teach boys. So that's how I became a Christian and when I accepted Christ and was baptized some months after that. My mother and dad did not go to church at that time. In fact, they began to go to church sometime after I became a member at the church as a young person. And they became Christians at that little church as well. So it was a great small church, but a great loving church. And, you know, certainly special to my heart because my parents and sister, as well as me, we accepted Christ there.
How has the Lord sustained you in a season of difficulty since then?
Wow, there's a lot of ways. It's hard to sort of pick out, you know, one or two. I think probably one of the things I would offer is that when I finished work in 79 and going through training, when I say finished, I went through training in American and finished in 79, Kathy and I moved to Minnesota for 10 years. And I worked as a salesperson and a manager ultimately there. And being a young couple, never been, you know, that far away. I'd never been out of four states in my whole life before then. It was challenging, you know, it was concerning, you know, a little bit scary, but it was great for our marriage. It's great for our relationship. But when we got there, we found that the Lord had already provided a way for us because when we moved into our apartment, And we opened the door, and there were all these leaflets, Baptist this, Baptist that, you know, from a church, a local church close. And, I looked at it, and I thought, well, I guess, you know, these people must have been Baptist before here. And there's not many Baptists in Minnesota. Most of them are Catholic or Lutheran. But anyway, we went to that church and visited that church, and it had, I don't know, several hundred people there. It was a great, great church. But it wasn't the church God wanted us in. And I had remembered a conversation I had with Dr. Roy Fish, who was a professor of seminary at Southwestern Seminary. And I had met him on an airplane, and he and I talked about our faith and accepting Christ. And he took my name, and he forwarded my name and address to that church and that association and then that church. And as a result of that, he also told me about a church called Southtown Baptist Church, which is in Bloomington, Minnesota. And so I remembered that when we realized that the place we were visiting was not the place God wanted us. And so we went to Southtown, and we walked in, and there was no choir. There was no preacher. There was 35 in morning worship. I counted every one of them. And Kathy and I were the youngest couple in the church. But that was where God wanted us to be. And we began serving there for 10 years. We had 3 kids while we were there. It was a real growth opportunity for us. And we still have great friends there. We still love that church, keep up with that church. But it was just an unbelievable way that God sustained us in a new environment and created a path for us. That's the cool thing. He created the path for us to be at that church at that time through a conversation on an airplane.
Do you have a favorite verse or something that you would call a life verse?
Well, I actually do. Joshua in the Bible is my favorite biblical character. And so, in fact, my son, only son, is named Joshua, after Joshua in the Bible. There's a scripture in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, and it's, "Choose you this day who you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And that verse has always been special to me. It's always been special to our family. It's been our family verse. If you're in our home, you might see that verse. It just says a lot after character of Joshua. He never was someone who said no to God. He always expected God to deliver, and he always wanted to do what God asked him to do. And he great challenge for the nation of Israel that he gave that day, but it's a great challenge to us today as well.
I want to know how you connect with the Lord. What are some ways that you are able to grow in discipleship?
Well, believe this or not, I listen to your podcast, and I really do enjoy that. I try to work out in the morning, and whether I'm on my bike or lifting a little bit, I try to listen to the podcast. And I've found it to be enlightening, and obviously it's a great opportunity to have my devotion, and it gives me a chance to pray, particularly at the end when you offer the prayer. So I've been doing that now for, 6-8 months, maybe as soon as I found out that you did a podcast, I guess. But I like that, and I try not to miss that. And then I think Sunday school has always been really special to me because of my, salvation experience. And then I taught Sunday school for so many years in Southtown and Smoke Rise and Atlanta and different places. And so I believe in Bible study as well, opening the scripture, reading the scripture, studying the scripture. And I usually do that around my Sunday school opportunity. I know other people do it different ways, but that's sort of how I do it. And then, of course, attendance at church. We really love Mountain Brook Baptist Church. We were very close to joining another church, and we live in Lincoln, which is next to Pell City. We almost joined First Baptist Pell City, but our daughter, Sarah Beth, said, "Why don't you think about coming here and seeing your grandchildren every week?" Well, who could pass up that? So we quickly did that, but we really, really do love everything at Mountain Brook Baptist. The people are so inviting, and we found our place, so to speak, and Kathy particularly, been wonderful. And I'm a believer in church attendance. We always, even in Minnesota, when there'd be snow on the ground 2 feet deep, if the roads were cleared, we were going to go to church. And our church, Southtown Baptist Church in Bloomington, it was about 35 minutes from where we lived. And so it was an effort to go to church in the wintertime particularly. But you know what? We didn't wake up in the morning asking ourselves whether we should go to church or not. We just went to church. And that's what we wanted to teach our children, is that's just what we did. And I think that's important. I think church attendance, even when you don't feel like it, is very, very important, because God is going to touch your heart. He knows when you don't feel well. He knows when you're hurting. And it just showing up sometimes is all you can do. But the reward and the benefit that you get because you did show up at church attendance is really, really important in your spiritual growth and for God to be able to speak to you.
What a great reminder that God moves in community as we are worshiping together. He is teaching us through one another. And it's such a blessing that you and Kathy have joined Mountain Brook Baptist and have been such an instrumental part of your Sunday school and different areas of the church. Thank you again for being on the podcast. Would you end our time together with prayer?
Sure. God, our Father, we're grateful today that we have this opportunity to sit down and visit and read the Word. Thankful for the lesson that you taught this morning through the Scripture. Thankful for the many blessings that you provided me over this 46 years of my career and retirement now facing me. I pray that we will find our place of service and continue to grow. I thank you for this church, and I thank you for this podcast. I thank you for Wayne and all the staff that work so hard to provide spiritual leadership for our family and our church. And I just ask that you would look into our hearts every day and tweak what needs to be tweaked so that we recognize that we need you every minute of every day. In your name we pray. Amen.